Tomorrow, as you all know, is the celebration of Sri Krishna Janmashtami, the appearance of Lord Krishna in this miserable material world. Lord Krishna is not miserable. He's always happy. We are always unhappy. Krishna comes to make us happy. He's so kind. As aspiring devotees of Krishna, we have many activities to perform throughout the year. Our activities are all centered on Krishna. Supposed to be. Devotee is supposed to. Mat karma krin mat paramo. We should perform all actions for Krishna, making Krishna the supreme object of our life. Man mana bhava man bhakta ho. Always think of me and become my devotee. So we're supposed to center everything on Krishna. And devotees try to do that. But even in centering our life on Krishna, there may be many activities we perform and many topics that we discuss which, although Krishna is the center, they appear to be somewhat tangential. They're Krishna-ized, we can say. Just like when a devotee goes to the bank to deposit money for the organization which is organizing preaching of Krishna consciousness, such activities are required, some legal matters, some fiscal matters, and all these financial matters, all these matters are required. So it's all being done for Krishna. It's all devotional service. It's all Krishna-ized. So many people go to the bank, but they have no idea of Krishna. They're not doing it for Krishna. Devotee goes to the bank for Krishna. Devotee may consult a lawyer for some point of Krishna's service. He may discuss with a building contractor about building or renovating or renovating a building or some such subjects which go on among materialistic people. And devotees may discuss in practically exactly the same way. But the activities are all centered on Krishna. Therefore, they're all spiritual. Brahmarpanam brahmahave brahmagno brahmana hutam brahmaiva tena gantavyam brahma karma samadhina. Just as in the sacrifice, everything that is offered, the ghee which is offered in the fire itself, the performer, it's all spiritual because it's all offered into spiritual nature. It's all spiritualized. So everything a devotee does is, he's actually a devotee, and it's done for Krishna and it's Krishna conscious. However, on Janmashtami, we shall attempt to focus directly on Krishna. That means even in the, just like here we see lectures, morning 8 to 8:45, evening 7 p.m. to 7:45 p.m., Sunday feasts 3:45 to 4:30 p.m. So in the lectures we may discuss many topics, social topics, political topics, topical topics, current events. We may discuss psychology, that's also discussed to quite some extent in Bhagavad Gita and again in Srimad Bhagavatam. So all these topics are there in relation to Krishna. We may discuss from Shastra, Mahabharata, the story of the fighting between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. So there may be many topics which are, even according to Shastra and the center is Krishna, we may discuss the degradation of modern society, all in relation to the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But especially on Janmashtami, we will, or we will aspire to, go to the heart of all topics, which is consideration of the Naam, Roop, Gun, Lila, name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, by whose touch, or by relation with whom, all other subjects, such as sociology, psychology, various scientific subjects, political subjects, current affairs, and even banking and computer discussions, everything becomes spiritualized, but spirit ultimately means Krishna. So, at least on Janmashtami, on these, well, there are various festivals in which we like to, we can say directly remember Krishna, just like on Govardhan Lila, we like to discuss about Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill, worshipping Govardhan Hill, and we also do so. On Gaurapurnima, we remember the most munificent avatar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, on various festivals, we remember various pastimes and various avatars and forms of Krishna, various devotees of Krishna, just like the day after tomorrow, Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja celebration. But the center of it all is Krishna. And Krishna is not simply someone to be loved through philosophical understanding, as we discussed from Bhagavad Gita, but ultimately he is to be loved. In Bhagavad Gita, he presents himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yomam eva samudho janati purushottamam sasarvavid. Krishna says that whoever knows me is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without doubting, he knows everything. But then what does he do? Bhajate mam. He worships me. Sarva bhavena bharata. In all respects. O son, O scion of Bharat. So even though Arjuna's from a highly exalted family, his duty also is to worship Krishna. That's the conclusion of understanding Krishna's greatness. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvam prabhatate iti matva bhajante ma buddha bhava samamita. Krishna is the source of everything. Everything emanates from him. Understanding this, intelligent people worship Krishna, but not just with their intelligence, buddha bhava, with feeling. So there's the whole point. It's feeling for Krishna. Krishna is not simply some big, powerful person. But he also is the sweetest, the kindest, the most beautiful. And especially on Janmashtami, we like to remember the qualities of Krishna that endear him to his devotees. In the Vaishnava sampradayas, the devotees, they, while recognizing the greatness of Krishna, ultimately they want to develop attraction for the person, Krishna, who is the greatest person, there's no doubt about it. But even in Krishna's own estimation, his greatness, his power, his opulence, his glory is not as important, it's actually nowhere near as important to him as his friends, his mother, his father, his brother, his cows, his Yamuna, his Vrindavan. So, on Janmashtami, we remember Krishna's wonderful pastimes. He appeared, first of all, as a, in his, first of all, he showed his four-armed Narayan form. But then he presented himself as an apparently helpless little baby and was taken to Vrindavan. Of course, there are different versions. It depends how, even Krishna's birth, how was Krishna born? Well, it depends which side of the Yamuna River you live on, which version you'll accept. Generally, people, they accept that Krishna is born in Mathura. You can visit Krishna's birth site in Mathura. Recently, I visited there just, less than 3 months ago. So it's the first time I've been there in about 30 years. So it's there's some site there next to a huge mosque and lots of soldiers standing around to stop people blowing up the mosque. So you can visit that, but as if you live on the other side of the Yamuna River, then you'll know that actually Krishna was born in Vrindavan, not in Mathura. So this is a controversial topic. Anyway, we're aspiring for living on the side of the Yamuna where Nanda Maharaj lives, not the side where Vasudeva and Devaki live. So, like I said, it depends which side you live on. Krishna is known as Devaki Nanda. Devaki also happens to be a name for Yashoda. So, we accept that Krishna, mystically, that word may be used, mystically, means, that's an English word, the more precise word in Sanskrit, a very important word, achintya, means not conceivable by mundane intelligence, by Krishna's inconceivable potency. He appeared in Mathura and also at the same time appeared in Vrindavan as the son of Mother Yashoda. So, anyway, like I say, these are controversial subjects. Maybe not everyone will accept this, but we accept. Because we are aspiring for birth in Vrindavan, as Krishna was born in Vrindavan. So we accept that Krishna, he's the original Vrajavasi. Not that he's born somewhere else and came to Vrindavan, but he is the very life of Vrindavan, which is shown that when Krishna superficially leaves Vrindavan, then the whole life of Vrindavan is lost. So we want to remember Krishna. How sweet is Krishna? The personality Krishna, that very person who we are in our chanting of Hare Krishna, in our worship of Krishna, all the activities we do, like I said, going to the bank or even discussing sociology and politics and sociology in relation to, everything's supposed to be in relation to Krishna. Who is that Krishna? At least on Janmashtami, we want to think of that very person, Krishna. Who is this very person who we have dedicated our being, our lives, to worship, to understand, to serve? A few years ago when I was here, I read out from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, had compiled a list of qualities of Krishna. So I read from that and gave a little commentary on that. So similarly, tomorrow I'd like to read, and it's an ongoing reading I've been doing in different places on the qualities of Krishna from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So I'll read that in a little commentary, and in this way we can remember something of the greatness and the sweetness of Krishna, which makes him so endearing to his devotees. Why does everyone love Krishna? He's highly lovable. It's not just a matter of duty. Just like those who are raised in Christian families, we are told, you have to love God. Love God. But you can't just love out of law, pass a law. Everyone must love God. But it's not something that can be legislated. Krishna, he's lovable. It's not just a duty to love Krishna. It's the natural propensity of everyone to love Krishna. There are things about him which make him lovable. We can imagine there are things about people which make them not lovable. If they don't talk to anyone, If they themselves are not interested in having any relationship with anyone, or if they're inimical to others, if you talk to them and they just behave very rudely or angrily all the time, you say, well, why do you want to have any relationship with such a person for? But Krishna, he does reciprocate with everyone. He reciprocates with everyone. He's not impersonal. Even with the demons, he may cut their heads off. He's reciprocating. He doesn't ignore them. If you ignore someone, that's impersonal. So Krishna is seen to their welfare also. But Krishna, he is especially concerned with his devotees. He's very kind with his devotees. He has unlimited qualities which his devotees are attracted to. He has everything he does, he's the best at doing it. And everything he does for the pleasure of his devotees. Otherwise, what's the fun in being God if you're just better than everyone all the time, just lording it over everyone all the time? But Krishna, there's not much fun. Krishna is full of fun. It's full of life. It's full of humor. So Krishna, he reciprocates with his devotees. He does everything to please his devotees. Sometimes he acts on, sometimes quite often he acts in apparently quite a contrary manner. Just to give more pleasure to his devotees. We find especially in Vrindavan Leela that Krishna often acts in a way that may needle or upset or confound his devotees. They can't understand why he's doing what he's doing. But that's also, that also adds to the fun of life with Krishna. When he does everything for his devotees, that doesn't mean he just provides sense gratification for them. That's the mundane idea of the meaning of God. God is someone who supplies sense gratification for us. Even some supposed to be Vaishnavas, they think like that, that, well, God loves his devotees, he likes to see them happy, so let's enjoy sense gratification with his blessings. That's the general misconception of theistic people. But Krishna does reciprocate with his devotees, but not exactly by supplying them sense gratification, but by giving himself to them. It's a completely different outlook. Devotees, they're not interested in their own personal pleasure. They're only interested in Krishna's pleasure. And Krishna's interested in the pleasure of his devotees. And they all come together, all the devotees and Krishna, in the most wonderful land of Vrindavan, where talking is singing, walking is dancing. Katha ganam natyam gamanam apivamshi priyasakhi. And the sound of Krishna's flute is the very dear companion of Krishna. So, tomorrow we'll discuss more about the qualities of Krishna. I was saying the devotees, they only have to concentrate on Krishna on this day, but actually devotees are often very, it's one of the busiest days often for devotees. When Srila Prabhupada was first in the West, the first Janmashtami he celebrated with his fledgling crew of devotees. He had told the devotees you have to chant 64 rounds today, and they had not at all practiced to chant. Another time Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan, and at night, 12 o'clock, they had arati, and then the devotees thought, okay, now we can have a big feast. And they'd been up all day, fasting. Prabhupada said, let's read Krishna book. And so they started reading, and everyone was saying, we're going to take prasad and feast, but it's Prabhupada wanted to hear Krishna book. So they read one chapter, another chapter, and everyone was falling asleep. Prabhupada was just listening, absorbed in the bliss of hearing about Krishna. But then seeing everyone falling asleep, he said, all right, you go, take your prasad. And actually, Janmashtami is to be, traditionally it's celebrated by staying up all night, fasting all night. And in the morning, taking a little prasad. But seeing our incapability, Srila Prabhupada made it up to 12 o'clock and then take something, prasad. And because the next day we have to fast in the morning also for Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. Normally the feast is and the festival is the next day, Nandotsav. But because we don't celebrate Nandotsav, because we celebrate Nandotsav means Nanda Maharaj's festival that he performed for the birth of Krishna. But in ISKCON we don't celebrate that because we are celebrating Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. Okay, I won't speak very long now. As like I was saying, devotees are often very busy. Running, the first Janmashtami I attended festival was in 1975 at Bhaktivedanta Manor in London. It was also the day I was initiated, which means that tomorrow is my 34th birthday. Everything before that was death, living death. But I was also busy because I happened to be the treasurer, and there's lots of Lakshmi coming in, and lots of people coming, there's Indian people coming, and I was supposed to go on counting it all day, and we didn't have a counting machine in those days, so all day I was counting money and putting it in bags, putting it ready to go to the bank. I just almost finished, and then they bring another pile of coins to cover the table. And I just came out to get initiated and went in the ceremony. Then I went back and I was counting money. And then again at midnight I could go to the kirtan. Otherwise I had to sit and count money all day. That was my first Janmashtami. Then in the little sleep I got at night, guess what I was doing in my sleep? Counting money. That was my first Janmashtami. And actually, last year I was in Bhaktivedanta Manor again for the first time after 33 years. I'd been there before on Janmashtami just briefly, because one Janmashtami a few years before, I started off in Soho Street Temple in central London, then I did a Hindi radio program in North London. Then in midday I gave a lecture at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Then I drove up to Coventry, another city in England, and gave a lecture there. And then at midnight I was in Leicester, so I was in five places and gave five lectures in one day. So otherwise I hadn't been in any other place twice. Only I'd been in Dhaka, Bangladesh. Otherwise every year, twice I'd been in Dhaka, twice now at the manor. Otherwise every other year, somehow or other, I was in a different place for Janmashtami. So this is the third place that I've been to twice for Janmashtami. It's not that I'm deliberately in different places, but somehow or other it's been like that. So, all glories to Lord Sri Krishna, who is about to appear. Let him appear in our lives, in our hearts, and we should be more and more inspired to, just like by the prayers of the devotees, Krishna appears in this world, so we should, on Janmashtami, make the prayer that by our activities, may he appear in more and more hearts of people. You have the duty of preaching here in Slovenia, so by your preaching, may more and more people appear in the heart. May more and more people become attracted to Krishna so that Krishna appears in their hearts. So this Janmashtami festival, actually it should be a national holiday, right? Everywhere, all over the world, even in India, it's not a national holiday because there's such a stupid government. In some states, but it's not a national holiday. They have Christmas Day as a national holiday, Buddha Purnima as a national holiday, not Janmashtami, because the government's, like I say, it's just, anyway, I don't want to talk about that. And then we get into politics. We're supposed to be talking about Krishna. Anyway, it should be that we live. Make that the aim, that Janmashtami will be a national holiday. And then the stadiums will be, the site of your festivals will be the stadium. And then just like all the so many temples there are of Krishna in India, people visit them on Janmashtami. They'll go around to different temples. So there should be many, many temples. Why only one temple in Ljubljana? There should be one every half kilometer, at least. Every home. Anyway, we've got a long way to go. But by Krishna's grace, everything is possible. Hare Krishna! Jai Shri Krishna Janmashtami Mahotsav Ki Jai! Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai! Hare Krishna!